Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Rap Boys and Girls on this lovely sunny day with me and Lee and Rach. The old three musketeers are back together again and rocking through. Don't forget, as I said, you can always comment on the chat room whilst we're here. And now the next subject's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt me a lot, Rach.
It's going to hurt me.
I know, it's going to hurt me because it's boring.
No,
boring,
it's not for that reason, Rach.
Rach. I should have said it, Rach.
Rach.
Have you seen the one after it as well?
Rach, have you understood the fact that whenever he gets a new phone, I have to sort him out?
My phone's broken.
And when his phone upgrades from Windows 8 to possibly Windows 10, I'll have so much grief, Rach.
You know what? I don't feel sorry for you because you supply him with these things.
I know.
And, you know, you really bring this on yourself. It's, really...
I'm like,
you should stop giving him these gadgets and you won't have to do
it. Oh. Yeah. Well,
like
anyway...
Setting Nan Rhodes, ladies and gentlemen, he just gives me his cast-offs.
Well, for people like Rob and others...
I bet he gets a new one.
If you would like to have a look at the up-and-coming Windows 10, go to insider.windows.com. And you can download a version of it now. It's a bit buggy, and they admit it. But it will work on a PC. And it's actually very nice. I'm becoming a Windows 10 anorak already.
Well, there you are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. That was very interesting. So I'm moving on to the next subject.
That's our sponsorship paid for. Let's move on.
It wasn't!
He's going to see himself a new computer. That'll do.
I haven't had my computer a year yet. So I'm not going to get a new one.
Oh,
I haven't got anything. Nobody gave me anything.
I got given a phone and a broken
computer. I have to buy my own things. I don't get given anything from either of you, and I hate you.
Oh, you fibber!
You fibber!
You fibber!
What did I get?
I sent you a parcel all the way from Pop Rad.
That was 3 years ago, and it was T-shirts, dude.
Oh.
I got them as well, and they're horrible. They make your nipples stick out, don't they?
I'm too much of a lady to say.
Yes, you couldn't possibly comment. Anyway, according to the House of Lords, in the UK, IT knowledge is as important as maths, says the UK government.
Well IT wouldn't exist without maths.
Right. But where does that leave you then?
Me? I'm brilliant at adding up and taking away.
Oh, yeah?
I'm multiplying and I can divide.
Oh, right. Because apparently digital skills... I love this bit. I really do. We are concerned about the level about the ability of teachers to deliver the computer curriculum. With more than half of our IT teachers not having a post-A-level qualification relevant to IT. That doesn't surprise me.
Well, it doesn't, because if three-year-olds can do IT, then 23-year-olds should be able to do it without any qualifications.
Well, they can't.
No, actually, I think the students have been teaching the teachers. But, I mean, the thing is, technology advances quicker than we can study.
Yes,
that's a very, very good point.
You know, I just don't think that's a fair thing to say. I think
it isn't. No.
I think they're doing their best. I don't think anybody's, you know, skating by or trying to. I think they're doing the best they can, but they simply can't keep up.
I think the problem is that very few teachers actually do understand computing. And they think it's some dinosaur ITC subject. And Mr. Morgan, in the comments here, is absolutely right. Digital skills can no longer be dealt with by individual departments. You can't do it.
They need to get special. Well, they should need to move with technology and put people in who do know what they're doing. And I mean, teachers, let's be fair to teachers. I don't know how it works over there, but here, they now have to be... psychologists, they have to be paramedics, they have to be general counsellors, they have to be educators, they have to be all sorts of things. But gone are the days where you could just be a teacher. It doesn't work that way anymore. And they're not, I don't know what happens over there because I'm not going to comment because I'm ignorant. But here, they don't get paid what they're worth. They simply don't. And I think if they want to have IT training in schools, and they need to put IT specialists in schools.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I think you're absolutely right. Absolutely.
There is a simple fact here.
What?
Well, there's two simple facts, actually. The first one is that teach it. It's an old adage, but it's perfectly true. If you can't do something, then go and teach it. And teachers are...
I'm offended by that, because my dad's one of the best teachers in South Australia, and he's brilliant.
I bet your dad is not a teacher, Rach. I bet your dad doesn't teach if he's good. I bet he coaches rather than teaches.
Yeah, he's kind of a mentor. But
See?
I knew it. And that is the difference between...
but he calls himself a teacher.
Yeah, I know, but most really good teachers don't teach. They don't talk at people. A good coach talks with you, and you remember more, and that's why your father's a good teacher.
You can't talk one-on-one with a classroom full of 30 kids. You have to talk at the group.
But it's like a football team. You coach a football team, you coach a classroom.
Football players are all drug dealers.
Rachel, that's a terrible thing to say. Now you've upset those people you upset before, and now you've upset drug dealers.
Yeah. It'll be lorry drivers in a minute.
Yeah. Now, listen.
And that's a perfectly respectable profession.
Teachers are people who can't do. That's the simple fact. There might be good ones, there might be bad ones. The simple fact is, teachers are people who can't do. Teaching should be the world's greatest profession. It is a thing that should give to the world and create the world. Look at the world that we've had created because of the teachers we've got. And the second point I wanted to make is the reason that IT is really a thing of the past is because it is made by anoraks who want to impress other anoraks, and normal people like me and Rach can't use it.
I quite agree.
No, it's true. Complicated.
That is very true.
As a non-anorak, I find it... I step back and I look at the anoraks and I think, what a self-indulgent, pompous group.
Absolutely. Do you know, Rach, you've just summarised. We used a certain radio station in London, when I was on every week there, we would have people phone up, normal, regular folks. And I would always often be heard saying to them, look, the simple way to cure this is to do this followed by this and type in the subject. And my purpose was to keep repeating the fact that if you did this three steps, you would go to a place that would help you if you've not got Eric there to help you out. No. We got complaints, you know, Rach. We did.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, from the anoraks, and they're going...
Well, they complain about everything.
You should have told them to go to code.1.2.3.com.uk and go to this and this and this, and then put /BT on the end of it, and you're marvellous. No!
And you might as well explain it to them in Mandarin, because nobody understands that.
Absolutely, and that is the big problem.
To do that.
Now, Rachel, talking of wasting money on IT... Your lot have been at it.
We're at it all the time. It's just, you know what? It's so annoying. This whole thing is just irritating beyond words. Tony Abbott's a buffoon.
Yes.
He is. He's very good looking.
He's not.
He is.
Do you know why we had
What he looks like to me? A spitting image puppet.
He does. And do you know why we had cyclones and low-pressure systems in Australia? Because his big ears cause the jet wash whenever he flies around the country. Now, what the Australian Bureau of Statistics...
Please, excuse me, the Australian Embassy in London and Bratislava, please address all letters to Rachel Brunsdon, the woman in Australia that slags you off. You'll get there.
You can address them to Dear Passionate Woman. That's fine. I got no problem. But, no, the Australian Bureau of Statistics has been, you know, one of the mainstays of the core of who we are. And they're not collecting data to use against you. Tony Abbott's been banging on about collecting our metadata and trying to figure out, you know, cool ways of making that sound awesome. And he can't because he's a dope.
Right.
But the ABS have... They're feeling under the pump. They're getting cut left, right, and centre with their money, and they're saying that we don't need the census to be as involved. Maybe we don't need to have it as often. Maybe we don't need to have it at all. I think that's a really poor thing to do, because everybody knows that a census is responsible for gathering information so that infrastructure can be supported as to what the population currently is and needs.
Correct.
Tell me how, in any logical thinking planet, that... By not having a census, that's going to benefit us. Where's this money going to go?
Well, You see, if you'd gone to a complete digital ID card for everybody, so that everybody has to do the ID card so it's automatically updating itself because you have to update it, then you wouldn't need a census because it'd always be up to date.
No, but they've tried to bring in ID cards here many times and it's never worked. The Australian public just will not have it.
Why?
It doesn't bother me particularly because I've got nothing to hide. I don't care.
What are we talking about?
But I don't think the lion's share of people here don't want it. There's new rumblings about us becoming a republic again. Yeah. I mean, that never happens either. But happens. That gets stamped pretty quickly. But I mean, having an ID card won't happen here. We're too big. There's too many people. There's too many differences of opinion, and it's just the Australian public won't tolerate it. We like things how they are, and there's nothing wrong with it. And the census is fine, and let's keep doing it that way. And Tony Abbott's just digging himself into a ditch because his budget can't get through the Senate, and he's in big trouble.
Ah, because you base it all on the principle, if it ain't broke, you don't fix it.
Don't fix it. Well, and that's what Australians like. You know that whole she'll be right thing?
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
Why are we bothered about censuses? Why are we worried about censuses?
Because they've lost a fortune.
But censuses are probably one of the most important historical documents.
Well, we're all agreed. We agree, all three of us.
I think it's important to fix it. I really do.
We had him lost for words again, Rach.
No, you didn't.
He wasn't going to be bothered with it because we said it all.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I just wanted to point something out here. I think this has actually been one of the most successful shows that we've ever done.
Uh-oh.
I agree.
I've just been making it up.
I feel like I'm on fire.
Oh.
Well, yes. But Eric has insulted anoraks, yeah? That's all, really. Nobody else, really. Just the anoraks, his friends.
Oh, right.
His best friends. He's insulted his best friend, really. Mm-hmm. Rachel, you've insulted Australians.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Drug dealers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Footballers.
Yes.
And those people I can't remember. Me, I've insulted the dead. Teachers. and IT people.
Everybody.
We've alienated an enormous cross-section of the community, yeah. And we're very proud of it.
We are, yeah.
Let's upset some more, then. Vlado's been at it again. Typhoon fighter jets were scrambled this week to intercept two Russian bombers off the coast of Cornwall, notwithstanding the fact that earlier in the week, a Russian warship had to be escorted through the channel. Unbelievable. Who does he think he is?
Well, I think this is the point. The point is, you see, where it gets me in this, yeah, they do this all the time. It's, you know, you could say that the press have started to report something that happens all the time. The Russian planes fly along our borders and try to upset our troops and our defence systems.
No, it's more serious than that.
Well, basically what they're doing, they are testing our response times.
No, it's more serious than that.
It's chest puffery.
But no, more. Because if people are flying into airspace without prior approval, and, you know, a jetliner's on a bit of a problem, has to come down altitude-wise very quickly, and you've got a flipping Russian bomber in the way, there's going to be an enormous accident.
I agree. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with it.
There was an accident not long ago because of the Russians with a plane that was flying out of the sky.
Exactly.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that they do this on a regular basis to taunt us, really. And what they do is exactly what Rachel's just said. They are actually taunting us. What is absolutely shameful and disgusting about this is not the fact that they're doing it, because Russians have always done it. Let's insult Russians as well. But because you know you've got 5 years left to live if you insult a Russian, right? Mm-hmm. So let's insult the Russians and say, grow up. There are wars in this world which will affect you directly, and there are terrorists in this world. Mm-hmm. And why do we need some little baldy action man messing about with his aeroplanes and his boats to try and annoy us when we've got real terrorists on our tail?
Nah, you missed it. Totally. You have missed it. This is my
theory. He's so rude, isn't he?
This is my theory.
Go on.
Vlado is doing this so he can get it publicised on Russian media to make it look good as if he's doing something to cover up the fact that most of the huge part of the Russian population are actually struggling to live, haven't got any food, there's nothing on the shelves, and he's using this as a way of covering it all up.
He's also using it as a way to, like, cover up the Ukraine as well.
Yeah.
It's my crane.
Very good.
Vlado.
You can't cover up what we already know.
No, so sorry, give it mate. Up, dude. Yeah, sorry, mate. It's already out. The World Wide Web has beaten you. I cannot believe this next story in any way, shape, or form. And I'm not one of the people that sort of blows smoke up the derriere of the print media department, because I'm not.
That's true. You don't do that, ever.
No, because I can't see the point. But this goes beyond the pale for me. A convicted con woman. Sit still, yeah. Mr. Banks.
It wasn't me!
That's my front door, don't worry.
Oh, sorry. A convicted con woman has escaped prosecution over alleged dating scam that netted tens of thousands of pounds, but the reporter who exposed her has got a criminal record. Well, because apparently he was harassing her.
Yeah, it's terrible. It is terrible. The reporter, I'm going to name, because I'll tell the people what's happened as well. It's a reporter on, I've forgotten the name of the paper, the Croydon Advertiser, which is a small newspaper, nothing spectacular, just a small weekly newspaper. Gareth Davies, I would have thought, was a reporter who is just setting off on his sojourn into the world of literary and news and everything else. And his editor probably is, enjoying himself as being editor of a local newspaper. And the fact is that, very simply, what newspaper people are put on this earth to do is to go knocking on doors and trying to uncover what the truth is about things. And in those cases, sometimes you have to go and see people who've been naughty. And in this case, nobody denies that Nilan Desiree, or Desiree, age 33, has been a naughty girl. She's already serving 30 months for fraud. And this reporter, Gareth, thought he'd got something on her about something else. So he went and knocked on a door. That's what you do. It's what travelling salesmen do. It's what everybody, canvassers do. He knocked on a door and asked her if he could talk to her. She basically said no. So what he did, he sent her a text and did other things, and he phoned her up. That, inexplicably, has been decided by the police and a judge that it constitutes harassment. It doesn't constitute harassment. There are straightforward, simple laws about how the press can approach people to try and uncover.
But I don't think there are, Lee, anymore. I think that's not true.
It is. It is true. The harassment law has been misused here. And, I hold my hands up, I've got three harassment notices, which I've got...
I'm shocked.
No, I do. And
so I'm shocked as well, Rach.
Why?
Only three?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, those
are the
only three.
That's why weak banks.
You're a wimp.
The reason is, when I worked on, like, say, I know what I got one off for a story I was doing for the Sunday People, and when you're in that sort of pack, when you're moving in that pack, which is the upper echelons of journalism, it gets very nasty. It gets very nasty, and you do tend to go over the boundaries of what is acceptable. And, you know, getting a harassment notice is neither here nor there. They can't put you in jail for it. You can't whip you for it. There's nothing. It's just a little bit of paper that you can frame and put on you all. But
it's an indictment on you, though, isn't it?
No, not really. Well, it's an indictment of how good you are at doing your job and how far you are willing to go to get the news and get the truth out of somebody. And this bloke did that, but did it on a weekly newspaper involving somebody who already was serving time for fraud.
Do you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the anecdote about the burglar who's walking out of your front door with your telly, trips over, breaks his ankle and sues you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What's upset me about this is because of what's happened to Gareth and how it might affect him. It never affected me. I One harassment notice I got was over hunting down a paedophile, and the paedophile objected to the way I'd done it. Well, I don't really care if a paedophile objects to the way I'm handling the story that involves him, and I got a harassment notice off the police on that. Didn't stop me doing anything. Eric and I have been involved in similar things all recently, and it's just neither here nor there. But this bloke, we wrote to them, we phoned them up, we phoned the Croydon Advertiser, and spoke to them and said, come on the air. Come on, tell us your story. Tell us what. Not a dicky bird. I tell you what, that shows some sort of editorial thinking, that does. They could have publicised their newspaper and their reporter to 8 million people, and they couldn't get, because it's Friday, isn't it? You have to go out.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, I think this next article is a complete load of old hogwash.
Is it about pigs?
No, you put it in. Which countries have the healthiest diets in the world? Apparently Belgium and Hungary score worst, whilst Chad and Sierra Leone top the global table. Now, first of all, this is my first ever bit of evidence, you millard. It says the countries with the least healthy diets overall were. And it goes from Armenia at one end down to Slovakia
at number 10.
At number 10. Where's Scotland? Where's Scotland?
Scotland eat haggises.
They eat Mars bars fried in deep fat.
Brilliant.
Do you know what I want to know? Where's China? Because China have got Chinese hepatitis in their berries. China have hepatitis in their berries.
Yes.
We've got
You can accuse the whole of China for that.
Yeah, I can. Watch me. I'm going to insult the Chinese.
Let's insult the Chinese. I've done the Russians. Yeah.
Chinese, this week in Australia, the Chinese imported raspberries and blueberries and blackberries that they import them here and they freeze them so that we can buy them frozen because they're very seasonal in Australia because of the weather.
Yeah.
They're full of hepatitis. We've had outbreaks of hepatitis A because of these berries. They've all been pulled off the shelves.
Gosh.
It's gone bananas, this story. It's gone absolutely bananas. And everybody has a packet of this stuff in their freeze. I don't, because I don't do frozen
food.
You're
clever.
Yeah. Yeah, so I buy Australian. But, you know, it's just, where are these dodgy countries on this? This is hogwash, you're right.
Yeah, it is a hogwash thing completely.
Well, I like Slovak food, actually.
But it's not bad for you.
No, it isn't bad for you. I don't understand. That's why you're at number 10, I suppose, really. But
think it's a rubbish review.
I think it's terrible. Mm. And when Britain doesn't even get a look in the world's worst dietary.
Yeah, it's crazy. Let's move on. Anyway.
I just want to insult somebody else, please.
Go on.
The population of Britain, right, because of the diet they have, are all big and fat and ugly.
Right.
And unemployed, apparently, according to Kate. They're unemployed.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose we'll go for the man on the moon eating his cheese in a minute. We'll insult him. teenage bullies have a pop at a 10-year-old boy, not knowing, that will teach him, that he is the son of a Chinese mob boss. And then ended up sending round 30 thugs to beat him up to a pulp in revenge.
That's overkill. That's just overkill. All they had to do was give him a handful of blueberries and he would have been in real trouble.
they didn't actually kill him, but I'll tell you what, honestly.
He broke everything he owned.
Have you seen the pictures on the interweb?
No, I've not.
No, I couldn't look at it.
No, it's not a pretty sight. Not a pretty sight. And then finally, one of them dropped a motorbike on top of him as well, or motorbikes on top of him as well. I think that's just,
a boy, for crying out loud. And you know what? It's really annoying because these aren't very large people. We know this.
Yeah.
It's like, well, how much do you have to do to a person to injure them?
This was an 18-year-old kid pushing over a 10-year-old kid.
This is
which
crazy.
Is wrong, which is a bad thing to do, but you don't need your spleen splitting for doing it.
Well, that's true as well. Anyway, a woman was baffled by rumours that she had died after getting drunk at the... See, that'll teach you for drinking it. This is at the bingo. And a friend started a whip round for a funeral. Oh, my Lord. You found
jumping
it.
The gun.
You found it, Mr. B.
Well, no, well, that's it. You finished it, really, don't you? It's just one of those things, isn't it? It just appealed to me because it's never actually happened to me, but I can see circumstances where it might, where you just go and get paralytic, go and get, like, hidden away from everybody, and everybody decides you're dead. That's terrible.
See, it's a moral to this story. The moral to the story is always check the pulse of your drunk friends before you decide to bury them. Like that in the ground.
Yeah.
Imagine if they put her in the ground. Oh, my gosh. My word.
Anyway, a donut chain called Krispy Kreme, which is close
best
to...
Best donuts ever, by the way. Thanks, yeah. Krispy Kreme, for that shit.
Yeah, exactly. Apologise for branding Half-Turn Children's Club KKK on Wednesday after complaints... you know what the trouble is? I've got a story about KKK in my head. And I'll tell you what it is. You know those nasty, horrible things called cigarettes? They're horrible. Yes. You should never touch them at all, ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Somebody was having a go at Marlboro many, many years ago. And it was a genuine story in the press that they reckoned if you unfolded a packet of Marlboro in a certain fashion...
I remember this.
You could make them say KKK. So it had to be part of the Ku Klux Klan. Rubbish!
Total... you can fold up a dollar American dollar bill so that it looks like a missile.
Well, yeah.
It looks like an actual missile. I've seen it done. It's hilarious.
No, some of mine look a bit like a broken Concorde.
I don't know. I don't have any money, so I don't know what it looks like.
Oh, poor Rose. we'll have to get...
sir, I want some more.
Yeah.
just talking about, going back to talking about when you're drunk and people think you're dead.
Yeah.
It just struck me, because this is a true story about a friend of mine who ended up more or less in those circumstances. He was very, 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 very drunk, yeah? Mm. And he'd been drinking Robinson's beer, which is the most incredible beer you can ever have, very strong.
His chest would still be going up and down.
No, well, it's not yet. It's a bit different than that. It goes off at a bit of a tangent, but it is true. We were walking home through, it was Ashton Under Lyne in Manchester where it happened. And we were walking home. He was falling all over the place, and then he got a call of nature. And so he went into a shop doorway, which we all protested about because you shouldn't do it in shop doorways, and michelated in this shop doorway. The problem
That's
was...
disgusting.
Yeah, and I think it is as well, but he got his comeuppance because there was a policeman standing there.
Then he wished he was dead. He wished he was dead.
Absolutely. Anyway, I think these nutty people that are complaining about the Krispy Kreme Club, which is just a lovely slogan to have, I think it's wonderful. I think you should go and get a life, to be very honest, because you know what you've just done? You've actually managed to promote...
Giving them heaps of cool advertising.
Yeah, for a hate race group. You've been promoting the wrong people. You should have just shut up and left it alone, which would have been a far better thing to do. Well, I hate to tell you this, girls.
I'm going.
We got to go.
And I'm going.
And to all those lovely people that have been listening on the chat room for all this time, you're lovely. We like you a lot.
We do like you.
We love you. We love you a lot. It's time for you to say a nice goodbye to everybody, Rachel.
Goodbye, Rachel. It's been lovely talking to you. Me.
Go on, Mr. Banks.
What have I got to do?
Well, you've got to do a nice...
Nice one.
A nice goodbye for a change instead of your normal goodbye.
I don't really do a goodbye like that, you know. I usually do. I just say... thank you for listening. I hope you have been, and I can't think of anything else to say. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and everybody else, I'll just say goodbye for now.
All right, we'll see you next week. Connor, good luck with your new career as the stand-up comedian, mate. And we'll see you all again next week, boys and girls. Take care. Don't forget, that's connordrum.com. Good luck, mate.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.